And a one. And a two. And welcome to the Tales from the Podcast. Tales from the Long Box Podcast. Man, that was crap.
Episode 4.
Yes. This is episode 157. Spotlight on Marvel Comics. Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2, Number 1, circa 2008. And I am Groot.
I am Groot.
We're all Groot.
he hasn't even seen the movie, and he pulled that one out.
That's well, that, yeah, if he's read the books, he'd know, so...
Well, no, but the we are, never mind.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure everybody's saying that, but, you know, I am Groot, though. So, yes, I'm very Grooty today.
Okay, I'm actually Caleb Ferrar, but that's whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, in case you haven't joined us before, I'm Chris Mosby.
And that's still Caleb, and I'm Murray.
Yes, yeah. Murray Fox.
He's still
the
Murray,
illustrious Canadian fashionista, in case you didn't know. He's famous over there. Has a largely growing shorts and sandals empire.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I just made that.
My own shorts empire.
Yeah.
So I'm on my way.
You're on your way? Okay, well, good.
Totally.
I went to high school with a guy who was a skateboarder, and he had his own line of skateboards and t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Excellent.
Amazing.
So, you know, anything is possible. And this guy smoked a lot of weed.
Oh.
Well,
you
know, sometimes.
And he was still able to put together a
He was still board. Successful.
Yeah. All right.
Imagine what you're capable of since you're sober.
So clean-headed, totally.
Mm. I would imagine that would work. Okay, now what we're going to...
I'm just sitting here envisioning my retirement fund.
Yeah.
Funded by shorts.
As it said in the intro, we are going to cover Marvel Comics' Volume 2 of Guardians of the Galaxy in 2008, which is what the current movie is largely based on, if not modified. Characters here and there are weren't in it, but the core team and the funny parts, Star-Lord, Drax, Rocket Raccoon, and of course Groot, and Gamora, of course, all came out of this book. You know, they first came together in Annihilation Conquest. If you haven't read that, it's just two books, and I do believe there's an omnibus coming out, but it's great stuff by Abnett and Lanning, which are no longer working together, but they are collecting.
Giffen had
a lot to do with the Annihilation storyline that came first before Annihilation Conquest. That's another great cosmic story with some of these characters. It's good stuff. The first 7 issues were by Paul Pettlier, which he's one of my favorite artists. He's really good at this kind of stuff. I first saw him in...
Currently working on Aquaman.
Yes, he is. He's working on Aquaman. I first saw him in the cross-gen book Negation, which has kind of the same kind of action-based stuff as Guardians did back in the day. I've got a bunch of trades of this that I haven't read, saving up for a good time, which, you know, I started reading them again last night. But anyway, this is an awesome book. You know, the characters, you know, anybody that's seen the movie will know, you know, where this is where it came from, and know, you know, those characters are great. They were even, you know, just as good back however many years ago this was now, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
And real quick aside, you know, I don't think, you know, people bitch about the editors, but the editor on this book, mm-hmm. is a guy by the name of Bill Roseman. I actually used to know this guy. He was the publicity guy for Marvel before Cross. He went down and worked at CrossGen for a little while and then came back to Marvel. But he was the one who suggested that Marvel start mining their cosmic world. It was actually his idea. to start doing it. I mean, obviously, other people had the idea. He's the one who drove it. He's the one who brought Giffen in. He's the one who brought Abnett and Lanning and company together on this stuff. He deserves a ton of credit. I mean, he does most of the Cosmic line now for Marvel, edits them, as well as a bunch of other, you know, like the Ms. Marvel and the Captain Marvels and stuff. So the guy, not just because he is a driving force behind this book, and the movie would not have happened if not.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For him. So, sorry.
No, that's cool, man. All right, I'm going to get started here. It's my turn.
All right.
Yes. I'm going to try to think of some good, funny voices here, too, so we'll see. All right, here it is, Guardians of the Galaxy, first issue, and 70 years of comics. I got the magnifying glass. Okay. And they do this in a cool way, this first issue. It starts off a debrief log, Star-Lord, Peter Jason Quill, half Terran, half Spartoi, no enhanced abilities. He's kind of, you know, they're telling this in pieces like a mission after debriefing. That didn't go so badly for our first mission. And then it's like, you see this big, ugly looking guy with a gun. Burn the unbelievers! And then, I think I just entered puberty again. Sorry about that. The cracked your
headphones.
Okay.
Sitting about the voices.
Yeah. Okay. Time slip, Tancred, temple ship, excuse me, 5 hours ago. And this is, you're seeing the characters here. You got our favorite Rocket Raccoon. Then there's a character called Phyla, which she is the at the time of this, Captain, actually, she's got Quasar's Mega Band. She's Captain Marvel, if you know who that is, his daughter, I believe.
Mar-Vell.
Mar-Vell, yes. You got Adam Warlock. You know, that's another character they didn't use. That would have took three movies to explain his background, so they didn't use that character in the movie. You got Gamora, which is supposed to be the deadly assassin in the universe. You got Star-Lord with his mask, which is really cool, and he's, you know, shooting things as usual. And of course, you got Drax the Destroyer, which they changed his origin a tad bit too, because it was very, very convoluted. So anyway, they are fighting, they're kind of talking. They're fighting the Universal Church of Truth, which is a common enemy, cosmic enemy that Jim Starlin created, I believe. And, they're religious fanatics. So, you know, that's a good thing to meet up on. So you got, there's blasting, there's slicing, there's machine guns. It's good stuff. You know, it's just a wonderful little melee you got going on there. And they're saying, it says, burn us, that's not very friendly, Rocket says. It's the Universal Church doesn't do friendly. Warlock, how long we got? Warlock says, very little time, Star-Lord. I can feel the distortion levels rising. Universal Church of Truth, didn't they used to worship you, Adam? And he says, no, Gamora. That was an alternate universe, I believe. Yet I seem to, you know, I went to great lengths to rewrite that particular timeline so it never happened. Rewrite timeline. Nuts. This is going to be one of those complicated alternate reality things, is it? That's what Rocket said. Anyway, so they're fighting and they're cracking skulls, and it's lots of fun. And then you see debrief log, Quasar. That's right. And she's calling herself Quasar. I forgot about that. Phyla Vell, half Eternal, half Kree. Ooh, possesses the quantum bands. Honestly, I didn't think it was going to work. I mean, a group of strong-willed individuals, each with their own agenda, but Peter was determined right from the start.
Okay, so what happened to the other Quasar?
He was killed in Annihilation. Storyline.
What? Vantage?
Yeah, Wendell Vaughn? Yes.
Oh.
Yes, he was killed in Annihilation. I was just reading that again last night before I went to bed. And she ended up in the somewhere in
picking off his body and grabbing the Quasar bands off.
Well, I don't remember. Actually, no. Well, it's even more convoluted than that, because in the Annihilation, it was Annihilus from the negative zone had attacked and completely destroyed the Nova Corps. And right. Richard Rider was the only one left. And they did a, you know, crossover thing. And then Annihilation Conquest was the, what was it? It was the blah, 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 the Flanix, which is the same Flanix, however you say it. That's Warlock's race for the New Mutants, if I'm not mistaken. So they tried to take over after that, with Ultron was their leader at the time. So, yes, very good stuff. But this is...
kind of book that you really need to know for this. I was just curious.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Because it reads really well.
Yeah. I was curious too, so thank you for...
Yeah. Yeah, I actually got into all that, and I read the crap of it, out of it, and then I got behind during the War of Kings and Realm of Kings, so I've got all that crap I've been trying to collect to read.
Read the crap out of it.
Yes, I did. I've read it, I don't know how many times, it's good stuff. But I've got all the trades of it. So anyway, Hala, 2 weeks ago, the day after the end of the... how do you say that? The Flanix Conquest? Yeah, that's what I was just talking about. Anyway, so you got Star-Lord, you got Quasar, and Richard Rider Nova sitting there. He's reforming the Corps, talking about being the last space cop alive. Yeah, him and Gamora had a thing, by the way, during that. That was quite interesting. Yeah, this is, you know... picking the wrong people or giving them enough training can get them killed, so I'm not going to rush. And he says, first it was Annihilus, then the freaking Phalanx. Phalanx? Phalanx?
Phalanx.
Phalanx? Okay, I don't know. I'm having trouble with that today. Been through two huge wars in rapid succession. Both times we just threw together what we had and improvised. So he's talking about getting, talking about something that will stop the next one before it happens, and the next one and the next one after that. What are you suggesting, a peacekeeping force? But isn't that what Richard is? Says, a proactive force. Do those even work? You know, says you've got the talent. That's basically what they're talking about. So he's thinking about getting those in. Richard's right. One good thing comes from out of these conflicts. We know who we can count on when the lights go out. So anyway, what do you propose to call it? He says. And then, so you see, they're back in the battle with the Universal Church of Truth, and Rocket Raccoon screams out, "Ass kickers of the Fantastic!"
Ass kickers of the Fantastic.
No, that, I said it wrong.
Completely different.
Ass kickers. I'm sorry.
I work with
That's
those.
Completely different.
Yes, I work with them too. But anyway,
I would be interested in that book.
Yeah, that would be a good one. Anyway, he said, "Ass kickers of the Fantastic." And Quill goes, no. How about Rocket Raccoon and his human hangers-on? And then Drax says, how about Drax in his coonskin hat? That grab you? Oh, did I mute my phone?
Clever, clever.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And then he's like, at Warlock goes, listen, I'd appreciate it if the team could stay a little more focused on the matter at hand. And Gamora, ugh, all we need now is a secret handshake in a clubhouse. And so she's, okay, debrief log, Gamora, Zen, Orbian, enhanced biology, advanced combat skills. Man, I'm having trouble reading this morning.
And just as an aside, you mentioned that they do this debrief little box thing in this first issue. They actually continue it through the series, and I think it is it is a great way. It's in place of those little boxes like they use in Legion. Or I think it's great. Because it gives everyone, hey, here is who is here are our characters, bam, and it's
it's a great way to do it
for the uninitiated.
Yeah. So anyway, she says, I don't know what made me say that. We have a clubhouse, at least. We don't call it a clubhouse. That would be unbearable. And she's kind of sitting there with her arms crossed. They even got kind of like a color scheme going.
And I will say that she is sexier here than she was in the movie. I was not a fan of the Zoe Saldana.
Yeah, they made her face look a little rough, didn't they?
Yes.
Star-Lord, everyone do as Adam says. Shut up and move. With a purpose, we have to, and then he gets blasted out the window. Form a team, protect the universe. Gotta say, Pete, old boy, not one of your best ideas. And so now you see this big, huge shot of the ship going into some kind of anomaly. That's what they're trying to stop.
A rift.
A rift in space and time. And the title is Somebody's Gotta Do It. And we talked about who was in this. So we got Paul Pettlier, penciler, Advent Lanning, writers, Rick Magar, inker, Nathan Fairbairn, colorist, VC's Joe Carminga, litterer. You got Clint Langley, cover artist, Lauren Sankovich, assistant editor, Bill Roseman, editor, Joe Quesada, editor-in-chief, and Dan Buckley, publisher. And he just got shot outside the window, and it's like a big church on top of a spaceship, and he's, like, hanging. So now we're going back again.
He goes back. Professor and Marianne.
Yeah. Debrief log. Rocket Raccoon, evolved mammal, tactical and demolition expertise, and he is the tactical genius of the team, as you will find out later on.
I think it's interesting that they do update him over the course of this series and the following series, with the talking more and more about the cybernetic implants that he has.
Yeah, I didn't remember that till the movie.
Yeah, it's mentioned. I don't even remember it in this series. But
I don't remember.
Bendis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Bendis one. I've read like the first issue of that, and that's all. I need to get those. Right. So anyway, he's sitting there. Does this seat go any higher? Whatever. So the Universal Church of Truth flying around in their giant temple ships. Brr. Convert or die. That's their holy creed. I don't know how I let Quill talk me into this. So they're talking 2 days after the end of the Annihilation Conquest storyline. It's the team is going to need military smarts, Rock. Another round? Why the heck not? And one for my buddy the Twig here. I can't tip it into his mulch. See, Groot got hurt really bad during the Annihilation Conquest, so he's regrowing in a potted plant that Rocket has carrying around with him. What's that you say, Groot, old buddy, old tree? And you see it looks like, yes, yes, you are. I assume he said, I am Groot, because that's pretty much all it says. Rock, you got the best tactical mind I ever met. What do you say? We need you, pal. This team, it's a guilt thing, isn't it, Quill? Not at all. Man, you're still blaming yourself for the whole Phalanx conquest, aren't you? See, I even killed it even better. Man, I am not doing good. I let them in, Rocket. What?
Keep going.
I'm just going to say Annihilation Conquest from now on, because I can say that. And we kicked him out. I'll do you a deal, Quill. I'll sign on if you stop beating yourself up over the invasion. One time offer, take it or leave it, and let's get more drinks while you decide.
He's like the team.
Yeah, he's like the morale guy.
Yeah, I need a free little beast to pack your morale up.
We're back to the fight. So he's outside. Man, I step outside for 2 minutes and thank Snowball. Peter, thank Palma. I thought you'd been voided. Almost. Phyla, I can see the fish are dead ahead. We have to get this ship turned around now. Dost, which is, they use that cuss word.
It's like on Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, it's like frack, yeah. So anyway, I like the banter. Says I could really use a gun, and she throws him one with her powers. Not my usual brand. Where'd all these extra loonies come from? And then Rocket says, "I'm gonna say eBay." I love it. I'm gonna say eBay. How did you hear about eBay? And where's Adam? He blasted on ahead with the greens and means. And why wouldn't I know about eBay? Where do you think I got my collection edition? Collector's edition of peaches.
You are the wind beneath my wings.
Oh god, that's hilarious. Adam said something about time.
Oh, no.
Huh?
He did that movie.
Oh yeah, that was something. Debrief log. Adam Warlock, cosmic being. Enhanced biology. That's extremely distracting.
Accompaniment, thank you.
Yeah. Cosmic being, enhanced biology, metaphysical energy manipulation. Metaphysical energy. Interesting. I don't know if this team will work or not. All I know is it must. Time is critical. I see clearly now why I've been reborn. He was reborn
because
in...
Because I am the wind beneath your wings.
Yes. He was reborn in Annihilation Conquest. Let's see. We haven't got long years, if lucky. Months, if not. It's all about space, you see, and its weakness. I'll try to explain. So he's smacking people down. He's got Drax and Gamora behind him. Which they're the green skin team. Oh, that's what he meant by the green meanies. Green meanies. Okay. I was thinking the people were green, but I get that now. So he's saying, control Drax this way. We seize the helm. We can swing the temple ship away from the fissure. Follow me. And wham! He's, big cosmic blast. And then you see this huge cathedral-looking thing, and there's these things of light. And Drax says, okay, Warlock, what the hell is this about? So what you see is you see this long walkway going into this temple, and there are these columns of light with thousands and thousands of people in them going from the floor up. And there's like six or seven on each side, and just full of people. And he says these are faith generators supplying the temple ship's font. The church is powered by faith. It literally soaks up the belief of its worshipers and converts it into energy. Belief in what? Life, which is ironic because in a power reservoir of this magnitude enters the fissure, the result will be the antithesis. Now, come on. And Drax says...
Antithesis?
Is that how you say it?
Antithesis, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, Hey, I'm just a poor boy from Missouri, okay?
It's okay, man. It's the antithesis of whatever.
Antithesis? Okay. What's the matter with him? Can't he use basic language like die and everybody's gonna? And Gamora says, I don't know. Oh, that's a great shot from her back, too, by the way. Oh, sorry. I don't know. He's not the warlock I used to know. Then again, you've changed too, Drax. That happened in Annihilation, by the way. Drax, debrief log, Drax, Destroyer, ex-human, enhanced biology, advanced combat skills. Yeah, see, that's something they changed in the movie. Drax was originally human in the comics, but he's full alien in the movie.
Well, they don't say what he is in the movie, actually.
No, they don't. They actually say he's from so-and-so. They're all literal. Yeah, I just watched it like 2 days ago, so.
Okay. Well,
they changed that.
What?
Which I'm kind of ruining the movie for Murray there. I'm sorry, man.
Oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to see it now.
I got nothing to say. We almost died. I saw a bright light. There was nobody in it I wanted to see. Yeah, he's man.
Sorry.
What the hell? We got a toothpaste as a backer.
Sponsors.
Sorry, it slipped out.
Is it Crest or is that our new sponsor?
Yes, that is our news.
Okay. Now we're going another flashback. The Grove of Honor, Hala, 3 days after the end of
Hala.
Annihilation Conquest.
I don't think that's what it says.
It's what it says to me. That's what I have a universal translator, and it says Annihilation Conquest. She died well, and it's the... that's one of the things they changed is his daughter is Moondragon. She dies.
What? No way.
Yeah, his daughter's Moondragon. He thought.
And she was a lesbian.
Yes, her and Quasar were a couple. She transformed and then was later killed in battle during the Annihilation Conquest. It was a very good story. And he's talking to her. Face to face with Ultron, no hesitation. You would have been proud of her. And he says, you two are close. You knew that. Heather and me, we never had a regular father-daughter thing. Drax, I don't need anything from you. I think you do. You were created to destroy Thanos, and you did. Now you have no purpose. But I think I can offer you one. And he says, I'm a liability girl, a stone cold killer. No one ever keeps my company along, not even my own flesh and blood. Well, let's find out how long we can put up with you. So she's recruiting him into the team. So now we see we're in space, and there's a big temple ship's going into this big, huge black hole-looking rift in space. And somebody's saying, you see that? That's not what good looks like. That's what I liked about this, was the way they talked. Debrief log, Quasar. So the temple ship has charged up with faith energy, and it was heading towards one of these fissures Adam had warned us about. The Crusaders didn't know what they were flying into. They were just heading to the next planet they wanted to convert, and they wouldn't listen to our warnings. That's why Peter took us in. So then you see Drax is correct, not good at all. That's the font, the temple ship's power battery. We're so close to the fissure now, a sub-fissure is tearing open. You can see it forming over the big pool of energy. And Gamora says, we could quit this team anytime we like, right? I didn't sign anything. So next, you got all these sacred one life, preserve us. All the temple people are like, man, something's not right. They know it. Some kind of stellar warp. Our temple ship is foundering. Activate emergency teleporter. Evacuate temple ship. So they teleport out. They left. They just abandoned all their fettered believers and left. Interestingly, that kind of sums up the problem I have with religion. So, debrief Gamora. Then I said, can we
Drax,
leave too?
Drax is a little lighter in the comics than he is in the movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Sid Embury, that he's not quite the jokester in the movie.
No.
That.
He has no humor at all, barely. Anyway. She says, then I said, can we leave too? Because I don't want to be standing here in 5 minutes' time. Now, clearly I was joking. I'm completely committed to this team. Yay, go team. You see? It's funny. Supreme War Hotel, Uptown Hala, 4 days after the end of the Annihilation Conquest. Because that's the storyline, damn it. I do not want to be part of a stupid team. I do not require your salvation, Nova, or your pity. You pig, Richard Human. I thought you brought me up here for a little celebratory relaxation. Yeah, they had a thing in the... Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. Well, they were influenced by the aliens, and they took it up after. So, yeah, they did the busy quite often.
Sweet.
How did that happen? I'm a pig because I didn't lure you here for a post-conquest booty call? Listen, Gam, you opened up to me. Rubbish! You opened up to me weeks ago when we were trapped inside that alien whale thing. You hate being a killer. You hate feeling worthless. You even love getting possessed by the Phalanx? Damn it.
Annihilation Conquest.
Yes, because it gave you a reason to get up in the morning. Peter asked me to talk to you. Go spend some time with him and Adam. Hear them out. Feh, Adam's not the same person anymore. He's not the lover I once knew. Yeah, she's, you know. Yeah, as much as I enjoy hearing those detailed accounts of your ex-boy toys... And he says, am I supposed to count you on that list too, Richard? I'm not going to join Peter's team. I got places to go and human rockets to be. But to answer your question, I hope not. I suppose I could go talk to Peter Quill then, later. Yeah, she gets involved with him too.
Paul Pelletier is an amazing artist.
Oh, I know. I just love his stuff.
Just that one panel of her face. Mm-hmm. Sort of, and she's just a slight smirk on her face.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, I kind of wish that outfit was used in the movie too, but hey, you know.
And whatever they did with her eyebrows in the movie.
Yeah, that was weird. I think they were trying it because she's supposed to be the daughter of Thanos. I know she is a relation. I don't remember how.
She's adopted to Thanos. She's adopted by Thanos.
That's right. I think they're trying to make her look more like him in the movie. So they're sitting there, and the sub-rift is about to open, and there's not actually going to be a leader, is there? Not at this rate. The problem was so much the blast radius. That would wipe out the star system and its immediate neighbors. No, the problem was the hole that the blast would create, and more particularly, what might come through it. That's Adam Warlock was doing in a debrief. He looks very upset. Star-Lord, have we won yet? Never mind. I see we have it. Quasar's, did we locate the ship controls? Adam says, it's far too late to attempt a helm correction. The temple ship is already breaching the fissure. Quill's or Star-Lord saying, so help me, Adam, this is entirely your department. He says, we have to neutralize the font. We have to render this craft inert so it will not rupture the fissure. Oh, well, that's all. And Drax says, I suppose I could stab it. Would stabbing it help?
I can't help myself. Every time I see them talking about font, I keep thinking, like, yeah. Are we talking Arial? Or
yeah, exactly. Font? Yeah, yeah. Comic Sans, that's probably what
Comic it is. Sans, that must be it.
Yeah. All that really matters is that nothing gets through. So, and then this great big huge, this looks like something Wes Craven would vomit, I think. It comes out of this thing. It's some nasty looking demon thing with 47 eyes and just about as many mouths and tentacles. And you know what happens when there's tentacles.
Hentai? Is it hentai?
Yeah, I believe so. Something like that, yeah. And then, so they start, you know, it's huge. It's really big. And they go, okay, rethink, and then the debrief of Rocket Raccoon. And I thought, geez Louise, that ain't from around here. So Warlock's like, oh, it's all right, it's all right. I can contain it. No, it seems I can't. And he's trying to blast it. And so she's Quasar's trying to hit with the quantum bands. What about quantum reinforcement? Better. Okay, we're holding it. And Star-Lord's outstanding.
I like how they don't even bother to try and explain the science of any of this. It's just we're in the middle of outer space. There's no, you know.
Well, see, the key is when they talked about Warlock, he has metaphysical energy.
Right, but how it all works together. It's like you don't have to explain it. Just, you know what? It's not. There's no point in wasting space saying, okay, this is why the quantum thing works. It just does. Mm-hmm. And the metaphysical stuff just works.
Yeah, exactly. It's like magic.
Comic books.
Mm-hmm.
There's a talking raccoon, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's my favorite part. I think I remember when that first issue came out, and I wish the hell I'd bought it back then, because you could probably get a couple of grand out of it now, just while the movie's big. So Rocket's saying, don't let me down, number six special, fly my beauty. So he throws on with a bomb thing, and then you see...
He pisses it.
Yes,
he's like all over that thing.
Yes. Yum, 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 yum. They do, that character's a lot like that in the movie, too. That's what I loved about it. So anyway, then you see the outside of the ship, and there's huge explosions. Big round. I like my explosions round like that, even though there's kind of like things coming off of it, but you know, round explosions are really cool. So anyway, big holes in the ship,
as opposed to what, the pyramid shaped ones,
or you know, the ones with what looks like clouds. I like the ones that are round like that, you know, because that, I don't know, just something about it, it's relaxing. I don't know how to explain it.
Relaxing.
Yeah, I'm also full of it too. Anyway, debrief law, Quasar. Rocket blew up the font, and yeah, because we all hate Comic Sans. And Adam and I absorbed the released energy and used it to actually drive the whatever it was back to where it came from. It wasn't the tidiest bit of disaster prevention, but you know what? Saving the universe isn't an exact science. And this is still pretty new to us. I just love that crap. 5 days after the end of the Annihilation Conquest, that's what I'm going to continue to say for now. I'm sorry, Adam's saying, I'm sorry if I've seemed muddled, this is all new to me. In simple terms, space has been damaged. The Annihilation Wave was such a catastrophic incursion, it weakened the fabric of space-time, it created cracks, fissures. The structure of our universe has been so badly traumatized, it's in danger of falling apart. That sounds about
right. And he's saying all this while he's striking an underwear model pose.
Yeah, I know. That's what's great about it. He was just recently, you know, resurrected.
So. Look at my pecs while I tell you about the danger of the universe. Watch me flex my ass.
Yeah, I know, man. He is. He's buff. You know, if you're into that kind of thing. So he says, these things that exist outside our universe, things that would like to get in, Things that have never blinked at the light of our days. Now they have a chance. Now they have fishers to prize. Oh, prize? Pry? I think it would be just pry, but prize?
It's not a wider.
Darn it.
Open, prize open and slide through. They're what I was remade to combat, but I can't do it alone. Peter dreams of a proactive team standing ready to stop any future Annihilation class events before they start. He has my full support. We've got to keep the galaxy stable. It's become too fragile. If another war breaks out, the collateral consequences could be unimaginable. Wow, that's a lot of big words, dude. And he knows how to draw women, too. Ooh. Sacrosanct homeworld of the Universal Church of Truth. And finally, Excellency, the time temple ship, I keep wanting to say time ship, temple ship Tancred was damaged yesterday off the coast of Defined Damage Crusader. The Tancred encountered some form of space warp prior to the incident. The crew reported an attack by six post-mortals. Post-mortals? Yes, Excellency, they slaughtered 89 of the Tancred's crew. Who were they? Unbelievers? Anti-church heretics? They never identified themselves, Excellency, but curiously, after the incident, they conveyed the Times temple ship and its congregation safely to the nearest planet.
Along with the families.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Find out who they were, find out where they came from, then dispatch the cardinals in name of the one life, everlasting, eternal, at once matriarch. So now we're back to nowhere, which shows up in the movie, which I was shocked. Nowhere. Okay, here we go. Debrief log, Rocket Raccoon. Yeah, good day's work. Yours truly saved the day, and the rest didn't embarrass themselves. Once we got into Temple Ship to a safe port, we used the passports to shift home, which is these bands they've got, which you'll find out. And you see this big, floating, gigantic head in space, and you're about to find out. This was first seen in the Nova series, which I was reading at the time. So debrief log, Quasar. Richard Rider told us about Nowhere. It's an interdimensional crossroads, a meeting place, a nexus, adrift on the rip, the outer edge of time-space. Its continuum cortex provides rapid transit to anywhere in the universe via our passport bracelets. Oh, and it happens to be housed in the severed head of a celestial. I mean, come on.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. Wait till you see who the head of the place is. It's awesome. So they're teleporting back, and there's people kind of floating around doing things. They're probably taking care of the passport system. Welcome to back here, Conrad Quill. And it's like a telepathic talk thing. How was Benic being first trip? Just dandy, Cosmo. Do anything interesting? Save the universe. Oh, nice for you. And grr, Comrade Raccoon. And you see talking as Cosmo. He is a, you find out later, he is one of the first Russian space dogs, and he's developed telepathy.
It's right here and there.
Oh, does it sound next down? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Cosmo, Rocket says, okay, Star-Lord briefing. Cosmo, where do I start? He's a relic of the Soviet space program who got lost in orbit sometime in the early 60s. Full-blown telepath and telekinetic, and he's Nowhere's chief of security and our team's liaison. And no, I don't know how he learned to talk.
Not important.
Again, it's like all the rest of the stuff. It's like, whatever, he can talk.
We have been busy. Your quarters and control center are almost set up. How's the accent? Am I doing okay? Okay, anyway.
I'm in Siberia.
Yeah. Adam Warlock says, we appreciate your hard work. It's pleasure. You thought up team name yet? No. Is it important that we have one? Of course it is. All about branding. Cosmo has been giving it some thought. How about the Retrievers or the K9? K stand for Nowhere. It's clever, da? Cosmo should get job in marketing.
And you'll see over as they don't actually choose a name over the next couple of issues. Mm-hmm. It's funny how when they do mention names, it's always from that person's perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
they're not all exactly good guys. They're Han Solo type characters, most of them.
Yes.
So you're back and you see this big map looking thing of the universe, and they walk into their headquarters. Look at this. This is really coming together. That's Mr. Quill says, our Star Lord. Hey, Mantis. They have returned to Groot. It's Mantis. She's taking care of
Mantis.
Yes, she was on the team for a while. I think she was in the Annihilation Conquest book too. So anyway, and he's talking, saying something. Probably I am Groot. You can't really see it because he's so small. Yes, exactly as I predicted.
He's mooning her. Look at him. He's like,
yeah, he is. Like, to the left. Yeah. Please remember to complete your debrief logs. I need them to monitor and evaluate the team's psychological well-being. Yeah, man. We've only just got back. I know, but in 3 hours, both Drax and Rocket will pretend to have forgotten. So what's her story? Debrief log, Mantis. Celestial Madonna, empath, telepath, pyrokinetic. She's saying, I am not an active field agent. My role is supportive. I provide mentat services, counseling, and generally work to maintain a cohesive balance between these disparate personalities. Yes, I know what you're thinking. No, really. okay, everyone clean up, grab some food, then we'll sit down and discuss tactics and methodology. And what about the name? What about the Annihilators? Which is funny, that team comes up later. Protectors of the Universe, the Quantum Band, the Proactives, the Defenders. Is that taken? Enough, you furball. debrief log, Mantis. In 24 hours, the team will agree on the Guardians of the Galaxy. It would be an abuse of my precognition to tell them this. Time and reality must be allowed to run their course unaltered. If I attempt to inform or warn or manipulate or even on a matter as inconsequential as a name, it would just damage cosmic harmony. For the same reason, I can't tell them that 9 months from now, they will be betrayed and killed by one of their own. Such dark truths a Mentat must keep to herself, however much they hurt. See, that's the kind of...
Why did you start talking all normal?
I don't know.
Like, way back in the Avengers, I'm sure she used to speak like, this one will blah, 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 and this one will blah, blah.
I have no idea. I don't know her history as much.
Is that right? So was it, let's see, she was a West Coast Avenger, she was an Avenger.
I don't remember being at West Coast.
This one is known as Mantis. It's a
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right.
That probably got old pretty quick.
Yeah.
And it's okay, interesting.
Let's guess who the player is.
I think it's interesting. Pelletier actually. I don't know if it's. I'm sure this was part of the story, but it's the same panel on all three of those of the debrief.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting tired.
Hmm. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So she says someone betrays them.
Yes, and kills them.
Okay. So
in 9 months. So move on.
Wait.
What am I guessing? What am I
missing? I'm guessing who the betrayer is. It's going to be the Quasar chick or Warlock, since neither of them are in the movie. Am I right?
I really don't know. I've been a long time.
I'm pretty certain it's Warlock, actually, who betrays them, because he gets taken over by his evil altered ego, which name I can't recall.
Magus. Okay, something.
Yeah, the Magus.
Yes.
Good call, Murray.
I know how these things work.
okay. So, oops. Back up. Warlock's looking at the big map, and he says, "Peter." What's up, Adam? The deep range monitor is showing an emergency temporal return. Vicinity of 56 Hydronus. It looks like another fissure in decay, very unstable. Any chance it's a signal error? Warlock says the monitor feeds data directly from Nowhere's continuum cortex. It's both subtle and infinitely precise. This is quite bad. Change of plans, everybody. Grab your weapons and promise yourselves a late dinner. Cosmo, we're going to need 6 passports pre-positioned with transit vector for 56 Hydronus. Cosmo happens to be there, right there behind him. And then you see the fissure, vicinity of 56 Hydronus. and then you see something come out of it, and it's a big, huge rock, and it's all covered in ice. So Quill's talking again. So not a bad first mission, not bad at all. At some point, I seem to remember Rocket saying, "This isn't going to be one of those complicated alternate reality things, is it?" He's right. That kind of stuff always ends in pain, heartbreak, and tears before bedtime. Thank God we dodged that bullet. And then you see a close up, and it's Captain America's shield frozen in ice.
And body, he's there holding a shield.
Ah, well, there's a body, but is it Captain America?
Totally, they're not going to psych you up that way.
Oh, well, see, you haven't read the Jim Valentino Guardians of the Galaxy series.
They would never misdirect you like that, Murray.
Nope. I know how these things work.
Well, yeah, okay. That is Captain America, though.
It actually...
Should we tell him?
Spoiler, it's actually Vance Astra.
Really?
Yeah, in the 30th century, he's still alive in that suit. And he, in one of my favorite Valentino stories, I got the first trade of that just recently. Because I read that whole entire series when it was out. But the Guardians of the Galaxy team before this, he was still alive, and that was keeping him from aging. And the team there, which were a lot of the original Guardians from the 60s, they went and found Captain America's shield, like it was the Holy Grail kind of thing. It was pretty cool, and he started carrying it from that point on.
Interesting.
So he ends up. That's what they say from alternate universe. He's coming from the past, or actually the future, an alternate future. So he ends up going. What in the hell is that? But anyway, if you look at the second. The cover of the second one, you see his, see him on the cover, and he's on the team, and Starhawk eventually joins too.
The team actually gets pretty big for a little bit, and then it contracts at the end of the series to kill off a couple of characters, and and they're just now revealing how one of them came back to life.
Yeah, this only made it 25 issues. Oh, and okay, I just got through buying that on Comixology. Some plot threads were concluded in the Thanos Imperative 1 through 6, and it's 2 one-shots. Awesome.
Which, by the way, sucked.
Did it? Well, they were 99 cents a piece, so.
That's paying too much.
All right, then.
It really was bad. I mean, it was very maudlin. It was.
I'll take your word for it.
Not worth the $6 admission price.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Vance Astro, major victory of the original Guardians of the Galaxy.
Gotcha. Major victory.
Yeah.
He gets a promotion. He outranks the captain.
Okay. The night that team started in 1969, but in the 90s, 1990 to be exact, they redid it. With Jim Valentino. This was before he left for Image. And they had all the original team plus a couple others. And then he ended up joining the team. It was a really good series. I can't wait to get to second trade.
Sorry.
Okay. It's good stuff.
You're going to have to wait. I'm sorry.
Yes, I know.
Murray, get yourself to the movie theater today. It's Sunday. It's a good day to go to the movies. You'll thank everyone for the recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up the kid. Just physically pick her up and take her with you.
Just grab her under her arm and just walk out the door.
Yeah. We will see you. All right.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It is. It's a fun movie. It is. There is unfortunately zero key breaks for this movie.
Much to my
the two hours and 10 minutes is all full. So,
how much is the Uga Chaka song in it?
Briefly.
That's it? Just briefly?
Briefly. Probably maybe 45 seconds or something.
Oh no, that's not gonna do.
It's got an awesome soundtrack. If you get an opportunity to take a look at some of the songs that are on there, there's the. As a matter of fact, I think that's even the name of it, right? Right, Chris? Isn't it the Awesome Music Mix or something?
I think so. Yeah, I need to get it.
Bring Kleenex, because the first 5 minutes of the movie will make you cry.
Yes, it's very sad.
Really?
My 7-year-old was beside herself. She was so heartbroken during that initial scene.
Yeah, it was sad. But I knew that was coming.
All right.
I did not.
All righty, will do.
Go!
Yeah, and I highly recommend the Annihilation Conquest storyline. Those trades, just two.
And if you want to know more about Adam Warlock, there's a whole podcast about him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No podcast. They just searched for it, you dummy.
John Wilson was the one on that, right?
No.
That's Al Sedano.
Oh, yeah.
It is called Resurrections, Adam Warlock podcast.
Yeah, I've always wanted to know more about that, because that was Jim Starlin did a lot with that. There's a couple of trades of, there's like an Essentials and a Definitive collection out that I never did get a chance to get. But
he's been around forever. Like,
yeah.
Like, I had no idea. Way, '60s, like.
Oh yeah, yeah, that goes way back.
First, the Fantastic Four is when he appeared. I think I
was first exposed to him during the Infinity Gauntlet thing.
Anyway, if you want to know more, check out the Resurrections and Adam Warlock podcast, because they will give you all sorts of info.
Yep, that sounds good stuff.
Plug.
I think I was first exposed to him. Okay, let's see. That Avengers story, the Perez.
Oh, yeah. I think I know what you're talking about. They had a sale on some of that stuff just recently.
But, yeah, get thee to a movie theater, Mr. Fox.
Yes, you must Will see. Do. Must see.
No, all kidding aside, it is a very, Marvel continues to wow in the movie theaters.
Yeah. It's very impressive. Though it was an awesome movie, I'm sorry, I still think Avengers was just a little bit better. It is second place, though. It's my favorite.
Okay, well, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Okay. Please do.
You're going to be the deciding vote?
Yeah, totally.
All right. Good to know.
And it still holds a solid 92% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that good or bad?
That's good.
That's
good.
Okay. Good. I never knew, because it's Rotten Tomatoes site and it gets a high rating. I always was confused.
It's better. It's the Yelp of movie reviews.
Yes. Yeah, I see it all over different things. So.
Anyhow.
Well, all right then.
Hey, to the new listeners. Hey, welcome. Thank you.
Yes. Thanks for joining us. Oh, let's wrap this up. We've rambled on incoherently, and I've mispronounced the P word at least 50 times, I think.
Okay, man, you are the wind beneath our wings.
Yes. Oh, God. We're in trouble. Okay, as always, you can send an email to the podcast and tell us from thelawnbox.com and let us know what you think. Or, oh, man, it echoes bad. Is it going away yet? Is it gone? Okay. And you can join us on the Facebook page. We've got at least 5 or 6 people join up in the last week, which is, you know, that's a big surge for us. And you can also comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there as well. And once again, we have wrapped up another episode.
And real quick, Chris, who was the guy who was that favorited us?
Ray Dillon. And at Ray Dillon is his Twitter. He has 8,859 followers. I'm looking at it right now. He's according to this, he's a HBO Game of Thrones. He's artist for HBO Game of Thrones, for Ridley Scott / The Science Channel, Random House, DC Comics / Vertigo, Borderlands, 2X, 2K, excuse me, IDW, and R.L. Stine. And he is working on the Peter Pan comic with his wife, Renee DeLiz.
Thanks again, Ray.
Yeah, thanks again, Ray. Yeah, that was cool. Hopefully you liked this one, too. I assume that you actually listened to it, or you wouldn't have seen it. because I don't think anybody else forwarded it, so that's cool. Welcome to the club. So okay. Anyway, that's it for this week.
Okay.
And we're out.